People think that the Federal Reserve is an agency of the federal government. It is not. It is a cartel, no different than a banana cartel or an oil cartel. It happens to be a banking cartel.
Author G. Edward Griffin thinks that we should abolish the Federal Reserve. Scott Minard is on the other side of the spectrum. He serves on the Market Advisory Committee of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. The future of our economy, or banking and finances, are in their hands, and so their decisions will have a dramatic effect on everyone in this country and around the world for the foreseeable future. Who is right? You'll have to make up your own mind after hearing what they have to say, next on Full Disclosure.
Relentless, probing, fearless. This is Emmy Award-winning Full Disclosure with Leslie Dutton, bringing you the truth by revealing the news behind the news.
Hello, I'm Leslie Dutton. Today on Full Disclosure, we're bringing you the news behind the news in this part one of our special series on the Federal Reserve. The Fed, as it is called, is in the news a lot currently. It recently celebrated its 100th anniversary. Being the news behind the news, we thought it would be appropriate to find out what the Fed is, what it does, and what we as citizens should do about it. Scott Minard is the Chief Investment Officer for Guggenheim Partners and is very familiar with the Fed and how it was started.
It was done on Jekyll Island. It was essentially a think tank of experts and financial people who were there trying to design a central bank for the United States which could essentially mitigate the risks of financial collapse which had occurred back in 1907.
G. Edward Griffin is the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, A Second Look at the Federal Reserve, a massive book that is highly critical of the Federal Reserve. After 7 years of intense investigation, he is also very familiar with the Fed and how it started.
Senator Aldrich was the Republican whip in the Senate at the time. He was a very powerful figure. Some people considered him to be second in power only to the President of the United States. And he was the actual chairman of what they called the National Monetary Commission, which was the committee of Congress which was given the task of proposing, actually reviewing all the monetary systems of the world and then proposing for an American revision in our monetary system to make it more modern and more up-to-date and to eliminate some of the abuses which were becoming obvious to the people. The people were very concerned in those days about this concentration of economic power in the hands of a few very large investment firms on Wall Street. They called it the money trust in those days.
Scott Minard agrees about the reason the Federal Reserve was formed.
Virtually every government in the world, certainly the major powers such as England, had central banks for long periods of time. The Bank of England has been in existence for several hundred years. The idea that a major industrial economy did not have a central bank was an unusual thing. The creation of the Federal Reserve was really, in essence, a step of modernization for an economy that had grown from an agrarian economy to an industrial economy in the early parts of the 20th century.
People were concerned about banking in general. This was before it was centralized. Prior to that, the same scam was being carried out, but on the state level. Each state was conducting its own Federal Reserve game, you might say. All the banks were state chartered, and the game, they could create money out of nothing and made legal by the states, you see. But that was leading to such havoc. The banks were going bankrupt, people were losing their savings, there was inflation, regional inflation depending on the bank, and that's the reason for the reform. And so when the Federal Reserve was created, they said, well, we're not going to correct any of those problems. We're just going to solidify them all into one big unit. So we'll institutionalize these problems rather than solve the problems.
The progressive era, which was underway at the time, and the progressives looked at the acts of Wall Street as a concentration of power which was beyond the scope of what should be available to a handful of financial people. And so as a result of it, in the Wilson administration, the Federal Reserve was created.
But their differences begin to show in the way they say the Fed was formed.
But we have to do something about this money trust. The money trust is dominating the economy of America, and we must have a new law to control the money trust. And that was the whole reason for the Federal Reserve Act, was to come up with a law to put in the hands of Congress the tools to control the money trust. Okay. So who is going on this railroad car to go to Jekyll Island to write a bill to control the money trust? You guessed it, the money trust. These six men represented the largest financial institutions in America. We're talking about representatives of J.P. Morgan and William Rockefeller, Kuhn Loeb and Company, and these people all had interlocking business liaisons with the Rothschilds in Europe and the Warburg banking dynasty. I mean, this was the world's money trust.
So according to Ed Griffin, the motivation for forming the Fed was to protect the money elites.
And what was happening is that they decided that there was such a public clamor for reform and control over their industry that they would be silly to sit back and wait for that to happen from the natural grassroots opinion. They decided to do it themselves, to take the lead. Get in front of the parade and say, yes, we will write the bill that's going to revise and control the money trust, but we won't let anybody know that we wrote it. We'll make it look like it came from Congress. And they sat around a table in the clubhouse for a week, and they hammered out all the details of what we now know as the Federal Reserve Act.
The Federal Reserve Act was enacted by Congress on December 23rd, 1913. It's interesting to note that our founding fathers wrote in the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, that Congress had the sole authority to, quote, to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures, end of quote. The Federal Reserve Act seems to delegate that authority away from Congress.
This was something that the founders had not really contemplated. They had allowed the creation of money to occur at the state level, and so there were a lot of problems associated with the creation of money prior to the existence of the Federal Reserve.
The problem of the Fed creating money was a far worse problem, according to Ed Griffin.
The power of the Fed to create money out of nothing, literally nothing, has gone far beyond, I believe, far beyond the wildest imaginations of the original founders. I think from reading what they wrote in those days that they never thought the American people or their leaders would be so stupid as to allow this kind of complete unrestricted expansion of the money supply. But that is exactly what we have today.
And so at that time, the meeting on Jekyll Island was a secret affair, hidden away from the eyes of the public, the media, and especially the Congress.
The reason for the secrecy was that if the American public, or even most members of Congress, ever knew that the Federal Reserve Act to control the money trust was actually written by the money trust, then it would not be possible to sell it.
What does the Federal Reserve do? We'll find out when we come back from this short break. We'll be right back.